We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All in Jordana. It's Jordana, right? I love all the different variations of your name.
I know. It's hilarious to see how people pronounce my name. I don't get upset one way or the other. It is how you say it.
If you had a simple name like Sue.
Because people say, well, you say your name. I say Jordana. And then they try to mimic how I say it. But I don't know if it's my Jersey accent or just the way I speak. No one, it doesn't sound the same. So it's however you say it.
There have been about a dozen variations.
It's however
Georgina.
You
call her whatever you want.
Whatever you like,
just,
yes.
Just listen. We're glad you're with us. Hey, I love my Roomba. My youngest son got us one of those little robot vacuum cleaners.
I'm
amazed. We think our floors are clean, and then we let, and we've named our Roomba Bertha.
Nice.
And when Bertha is done, it's like, oh, my God, that was on our floors, in our rugs. You use Siri
every day.
Alexa.
I rarely place a phone call without asking Siri to place it for me. And Dan Cook's whole home is wired through, he tells somebody, what do you say, Alexa? Is it?
No, it's Google. So you say, hey, Google.
Hey, Google, turn on the lights, this, do that. I hope I haven't screwed up anybody's lights at home.
I kind of hope we did.
So we use AI in our everyday life, artificial intelligence.
When you use Uber, being able to find the right vehicle for your proposed destination.
Sure.
When you use Google Maps, the route that it selects for you, that's machine learning and artificial intelligence.
And it's great, and we almost can't live without it now.
And yesterday, the reason we're talking about this is because there's an arms race, and there has been for some time when it comes to AI, artificial intelligence. Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order meant to spur the development and regulation of artificial intelligence, technology that many experts believe, Jor, is going to define the future of everything, from consumer products to healthcare to warfare. And there's concern that maybe the Chinese are a couple of steps ahead of us. Mm-hmm. To get some perspective on this and to talk more about AI, what is it? Why should we care? We're happy to have Dr. Ravi Bapna. He is at the Curtis Carlson Chair in Business Analytics and Information Systems. He's also Associate Dean for Executive Education, and he does a lot of amazing things with data science, machine learning, AI, and business analytics at the Carlson School of Management at the U. Dr. Ravi, thank you for joining us today.
Hello, good afternoon.
Why should listeners care about AI?
Well, you know, other than the fact that the president has announced a big initiative on it, as you all said, it is something that is already embedded in lots of the things we do every day. And if you take a step back, you know, the reason why AI has become prominent in the last couple of years in sort of everyday life and in business is because companies have started to realize that they're sitting on tons and tons of data.
Right.
And I would say there are three types of companies. You know, there are companies that have tons of data and don't even know where to start mining it to find interesting patterns or to find, you know, interesting opportunities to predict things. And that's what AI and machine learning allow you to do. Mm-hmm. So that's category one. Category two are companies that think they are data-driven, but often I find that they actually use data to confirm the beliefs and the hypothesis they already have, rather than to find new beliefs. And then you have sort of the other category of companies, largely the tech companies, the Facebooks and the Ubers and the Airbnbs and the Netflix of the world that actually have AI in every product that they produce. All right. So as you said, you know, a Google search result is targeted and personalized for your specific context, your location, your device, And so on and so forth. So I think that's the landscape that's out there. And as you all correctly said, there is a race. And of course, China has really doubled down on building AI-like capabilities. And I think it's good that the U.S. is waking up, in my opinion, actually.
The U.S. is waking up, but no money has been allocated toward the research of this yet. It's an initiative. Hopefully it'll get a little more teeth and a little more financing behind it. But Dr. Bapna, for those people listening, you know, we grew up thinking, oh, computers are going to take our jobs. Robots are going to take our jobs. Mm-hmm. And often we see that on assembly lines. So some of that has happened. If you are a young person or somebody young in your career, looking down the nose of this, what should we be doing to learn more about it, to get involved in AI and be part of the future instead of resisting it?
That I want to put out there for everybody to appreciate and understand is that The algorithms are not going to take over your jobs. The algorithms, the people whose jobs are going to take over are the people who don't understand how algorithms work in some senses.
Okay.
Right? So I think it really is up to us to, you know, take our education system right from, you know, I would say high school onwards into undergrad curriculum, into the grad school, and, you know, into exec ed out here. Continuing ed, lifelong learning, to make people aware of the power of algorithms, make people literate in data science, and to sort of teach them these capabilities that are really fundamental. You know, they allow you to find stories in your data, and there is math behind it, there is storytelling behind it, there is actually sort of, you know, some computer science STEM kind of capabilities that you need, but it's not rocket science, and it's exciting. And I feel that, you know, that's the big change that we as a country, I think, really need to sort of put forth. And of course, you said that, yeah, there is not funding associated with the particular initiative, but what we are seeing is that companies are not waiting for that, right? So companies are going out and investing in, even though they may not have the talent right now, they're you know, investing in training not only the people at the low end who can do this stuff, but people, even executives. So we do a lot of work with companies where, we bring in executives who did not grow up. When they did the MBA 10 years ago, there was no, machine learning course, right?
Right.
Now we have
right.
them. but we want to educate them on the art of the possible, right? You don't want to have a bunch of data scientists sitting in your company doing nothing because the executives don't know what projects to put them on, mm-hmm. right? And I think that's a gap we are filling as a university, but it has to be a broader push across the ecosystem, in my opinion. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Bapna, I'm just curious. I mean, there's so much data out there, so little wisdom. But the companies that are using AI and machine learning
yeah.
to distill that data into wisdom, specifically as it relates to all of us and the digital breadcrumbs we give mm-hmm. off every mm-hmm. day, our search results, our travel patterns.
Everything.
They're logging all of that. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at Shoshana Zuboff's new book, Surveillance Capitalism is what she called it, specifically zeroing in on Google and Facebook and how they're harvesting data and actually using that data and selling that data to companies who want to know what we may do in the future behavior, and there's a lot of money to be made there. Do you think, and I don't mean to ambush you, but you know a lot about this, that's obvious. Just curious, do you think this is going to be a campaign issue in 2020? In terms of data privacy and Americans having some say over what is public, what can be harvested versus, nope, this is my data. I don't want anybody else having access to this.
Yeah, I it's a great question. I do not think it will be a campaign issue. I would love for it to be a campaign issue, but I don't think our political class and our system right now, we are kind of stuck in such a bad equilibrium with other factors that I don't think this will escalate up to become a campaign issue the way it should be. However, the point that you're making is incredibly important. I think right now we have come to the stage where the balance of sort of returns from this data is disproportionately in the favor of the tech companies. And not to the people who technically generate the data, right? However, there are emerging technologies such as blockchain. There are emerging technologies that I think, and there are newer models that that I sort of, you know, I'm aware of that people are, you know, at the research stage right now thinking about where you can actually, you know, have data exchanges. Like, you know, there should be a value. If my data, if my, you know, trip from my my university to my home is used to sell me, is used by, let's say, Uber to go out and then, you know, create a predictive model for something or sold to another company for...
Then you should be paid.
I should be paid. And,
right.
And technology such as blockchain and the newer versions of it, not sort of where it started out, but will allow you to attribute that. And there will be data exchanges sitting in the middle that will say that, you know, that's the value that, you know, a user should get for this particular use of that user's data. We, you know, we are not far away from getting to that kind of scenario. But it's not. I don't expect this to be a campaign issue.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, I think that's just my kind of dismal view of politics right now.
Dr. Ravi Bapna, Carlson Chair in Business Analytics and Information Systems. We thank you so much for your expertise on the show.
Yep, thank you, Doctor.
Pleasure.
You know what's scary about this conversation?
Interesting stuff.
I don't understand algorithms. I don't understand a lot of this. I am going to be left behind when it comes to
but
the
I think
future.
It's incumbent on all of us to stretch and to get out of our comfort zones and to learn this stuff because it's going to be important, especially if you're in your 30s right now. You're going to have to know this stuff.
Agreed. You all please keep listening to the radio so we can keep our jobs and don't have to learn about
robots,
the algorithms.
Is Alexa going to have her own show here?
It's 4:22. When we get back, oh, I was getting texts from the bus today. The kids were on the bus too long because the weather was bad. Dive deep into the weather and weather therapy next.
Wow.
I love our listeners. In response to the previous segment about
yes.
AI, artificial intelligence, one of our listeners says, Paul and Jura, as a farmer, when I hear AI, I think artificial insemination for livestock.
That I understand. That I know about. Well, I don't know that
show.
Much about it, but I know how it happens.
Thank you for making me laugh.
Oh, well, that's good stuff. That is
That's
good
a little
stuff.
More straightforward, right? I mean, AI, robotics.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be the guy that maintains the robots, right? The guy that keeps them all, you know, replaces the batteries.
You're the Roomba then.
Yeah, I'll put in the AA batteries. All right. 14 inches of snow on the ground this morning, Jor. That is the most snow on the ground in the Twin Cities since March of 2014. You have to go back 5 years, almost 5 years, March 10th, 2014. By the way, that was the winter that wouldn't end. It just kept going on and on, the polar vortex,
mm-hmm.
week after week,
mm-hmm.
month after month. That was a pretty miserable start to the year. We have had, if anybody asks in polite company, 21.6 inches in 9 days. 21.6 in 9 days.
Just, okay, so is that a lot?
That's a lot, yeah.
Because now I feel like I have no frame of reference because I
it
think
is.
This winter is brutal. I think we've had a ton of snow. I think it's
nope.
been super cold, and I feel like people are suffering. The seasonal affective disorder has gone off the edge. And you said, no, we're average.
It's still a moderate winter in terms of snowfall and in terms of temperature. Because we had rain back in late December. We had a foot.
I don't remember those wonderful times.
It would have been a foot of snow. We had about an inch of liquid water in late December. And then the first half of January, 10 degrees above average. It was in the 30s and 40s. Everybody thought, oh, El Nino, it's going to be an easy winter.
Fantastic.
And then we went over a cliff with
That's
a polar
right.
vortex.
That's right.
And we had a few very painful days in late January. And then it rained again. We had ice at the tail end of the polar vortex, which had many of us scratching our heads.
Hard times. Hard times.
And then the polar air lifted northward, and it was Goldilocks. It was...
I mean, not really.
It was Goldilocks.
Romanticizing
it was,
that.
It was just right. It was just right. Just the right amount of southern moisture and northern cold. If you get too much southern moisture, it changes over to ice and rain.
So would that last like 4 minutes about?
No, it lasted the better part of 9 days. And again, over 9 days, we had just about 22 inches of snow. We're up to 39 inches now for the winter in the Twin Cities. That's 2 inches above average.
Hmm.
And again, as of a couple of weeks ago, we were half of where we should have been in the snowfall department. Pretty amazing how quickly we made up for lost time. Chanhassen at the Weather Service office, they got 4.7 officially. The airport 5.3. St. Cloud got 3.7. Eau Claire got 6.7. So it was about an inch or two more than I thought it would be. And but I'm happy for snow lovers.
So's Mike. He wants to chime in here. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Jordana. Paul, how are you?
Great.
Doing okay. I like the snow, even though, you know, I drive in it like everybody else, and it's a pain commuting, but it doesn't seem like a Minnesota winter if it doesn't snow.
Oh, it's been so nice out today. It was 22 degrees, and the kids didn't have school. I live in Northfield, and my daughter and I were at Welch Village at 10 o'clock when they
nice.
Opened.
Good for you.
Nice.
We skied about 30 runs there, and yes. It was gorgeous.
It had to be. Conditions were good?
Oh, it was great. They had about 4 inches of fresh snow on top of the groomed snow that they groomed overnight. So it was really, really peaceful, and it was a wonderful experience. And, you know, you have children. It's nice when you can get them alone for a little while.
Yeah,
so nice.
Yeah, get them away from their screens and go out and do something.
I'm feeling, Mike, that's what Handsome Husband said when he woke up. He goes, oh, man, it's a great day to be out snowboarding. The powder's terrific.
Yeah, I had my daughter for four or five hours to myself.
Good for you, Mike.
And, drive over there. You can talk the whole way and drive back. And then you're up on the lift part of the time. So, you know.
What did you learn, Mike? Can you share any wisdom or knowledge about hormonal tweeny girls? Can you help us out?
Well, my daughter's 15. She's in a play coming up called The Rock and Roll Revival.
Nice. Everyone go see it.
Talk a lot about that. Yeah, it's really cool. It's a production they put on like every couple of years.
Sweet.
In Northfield. And so we talked a lot about that. She's dancing in about 5 routines. So it's fun.
I love this phone call, Mike. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
You're welcome. All right, guys. Have a good
appreciate
afternoon.
It. Enjoy the snow.
I love that. I kind of want the rest of the show to be about Mike's daughter's play.
Well, we could do that.
We could discuss the routines and the choreography, the rock and roll what songs are they singing? I like that.
Jure, we've had almost 22 inches in February. It's the fourth snowiest February on record, the snowiest February since 1967. And if we just get another 5 inches of snow by the end of the month, we will set a record. At this point, let's go for boasting rights. Let's go for a record. The record is 26.5 in 1962. I say go for it.
You know, it's even snowing in Hawaii. We're going to tell you more about that in Beyond the Headlines next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we got a little interactive quiz here.
Ooh, I love a good quiz.
Talking about frugal billionaires, and maybe there's a reason why they became billionaires.
So much money.
Because they are frugal. So here are your choices. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Warren Buffett, CEO of Berkshire Hathaway, one of the richest people on the planet, Bill Gates, and Charlie Ergen.
Okay.
Those are the four choices.
Who's Charlie
Ergen, founder and chairman of Dish Network.
Okay.
Of those four people, who wears a $10 watch?
Bill Gates.
You are absolutely, how'd you know that?
Seems like a down-to-earth kind of guy.
Good guess.
And he made his money. He didn't inherit it. So he just seems like a regular guy.
And he washes the dishes.
Yeah, he does the dishes.
At home every
night. He cleans.
Right?
Yes, he cleans. I knew that about him.
And every time I wash and dry the dishes, I'm like, yeah, I'm one with Bill Gates.
Yeah, you feel that way?
Yeah,
good.
Well,
keep it up. Keep washing those dishes, buddy.
Who lives in the same home that they bought for $31,000 back in 1958? You
knew
that. Very good.
Is it Nebraska?
Yes, Omaha. Mm-hmm. It is a 5-bedroom stucco house in Omaha. He paid $31,000 for this back in 1958. Similar homes now go for $2.5 million today. He said it's the third best investment he ever made.
Good for him.
And he's still living there. Who drives a $30,000 vehicle?
What are my other choices?
Zuckerberg or Charlie Ergen?
Zuckerberg. I bet it's a Prius or something.
You are absolutely right.
Am I really? I'm doing well.
You are 3 for 3.
Wow.
Look at you.
And
look,
is it a Prius?
Nope. It is a Volkswagen GTI with a stick, manual transmission.
Okay. Zuckerberg-esque.
Zuckerberg, yeah. I mean, he could drive a different exotic car every day of the week for the rest of his life. He reportedly married his longtime girlfriend, Priscilla Chan, in their backyard. To save money.
In their backyard of their gazillion-dollar home, though.
Well, he bought a home for $7 million in Palo Alto.
He's saving money on the wedding now when your house costs $7
million? Well, yeah.
And billionaire.
Charlie Ergen, founder and chairman of Dish, still brown bags it to
good.
Work every
he
day.
Likes his wife's cooking.
Takes his own lunch.
I like
and
that.
He and his wife have lived in the same home in Denver for 20 years.
Nice.
And he used to get some flack from other executives because just until recently, they used to share hotel rooms with colleagues.
Come on.
Yes, to save money, they would double up in
the
same hotel
funny.
Room.
Wow, the rich are funny like that.
He once said,
I don't even like sharing a bathroom at home. No offense, handsome husband, but come on.
Charlie Ergen, and I like this about him, and I heard he's tough to work for, but he said, look, my mom grew up in the Depression. I don't have a mahogany desk.
Really?
So he doesn't care about the trappings of wealth, you know? And it's worked pretty well for
him. That's a cool list. Thank you.
Thank you. You did well.
Hawaii snowstorm. So is it normal weather, Guy, to have
no.
snow? It's never normal.
No.
It never snows.
Hurricane force gusts and snow. And by the way, Mike Lynch is, I think he just landed on Maui.
Did he?
This morning to try to get away from the snow. Poor Mike.
Okay, so get this. It's known for sunny beaches, of course. Mauna Kea, one of its highest points.
Mauna Kea?
Mauna Kea. There you go. Thank you. I say Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea. I guess I got to brush up on my Hawaiian mountain speak. Mauna Kea, which rises nearly 14,000 feet in elevation. Snow is rarely seen below 10,000 feet until now. A nasty snowstorm has left accumulations at 6,200 feet in Polipoli. And that's a recreational park in Maui. Meteorologists believe that's the lowest elevation of snowfall ever recorded in the state. The storm brought gusts of 70 miles per hour. Wow. You don't want to go on a Hawaiian vacation and have it snow. That's not a thing you want to see.
Mauna Kea.
Mauna Kea. Did I butcher it? What did I say? Mauna Kea?
Mauna Kea.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. That's why we love you. Katy Perry, did you hear she got caught up in blackface controversy?
I saw the shoes. They're bad.
Under the heading of What Were They Thinking?
Yeah, it's bad.
The 34-year-old singer and clothing designer pulled her two Perry-branded shoes from online stores following complaints that their designs resembled blackface makeup.
It did.
I saw them,
yeah,
too, and
it's a black shoe with two blue eyes, a nose drawn on, and then really red lips. It just it's jarring when you look at it.
Yeah, not long after the items disappeared from Perry's site, they were removed from the online stores of other retailers, including Walmart and Dillard's. The site noted the singer's company was in the process of pulling the shoes from the market entirely. And Pew Research Center did a survey. A slight majority of Americans, 53%, think it is generally unacceptable for a white person to use makeup to darken their skin to appear to be a different race as part of a Halloween costume. 37% said it is never acceptable. But, and this, I almost fell off my couch. Almost, I caught myself. One in three, 34% of Americans say this is always or sometimes acceptable.
Who are these people? And are they not learning, watching the news, listening to the radio? Have we learned nothing?
Apparently not.
Because even if you thought it was okay yesterday, now you know. And it's not okay. It wasn't okay yesterday, even if that's what you thought. But it's not okay. So just don't do it.
They're not woke.
They're not paying attention. That bugs me. You're not paying attention. Speaking of that, by the way, I didn't have this in my Beyond the Headlines, but a fake news T-shirt got pulled from Bloomingdale's. It said it was a yellow T-shirt. It said fake news on it, and a reporter was shopping there, and she complained to the management, and they pulled the T-shirt off the shelves.
Huh.
The TSA has a great Dan Cook turned me on to this. They have an amazing Instagram site. They post all of the things.
TSA?
Yes. They're so clever, and they post the stuff that they
the weirdest
confiscate.
Stuff? Yeah.
Yes. So today, of course, the TSA is out with their most, their wackiest catches of 2018. Number one is a razor glove. The picture of this is really insane. It's like who's that guy that the Australian
Edward Scissorhands?
Played? Not Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger is who you're thinking.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger. It's like a Freddy Krueger. Thank you, Dan.
Oh, nice.
Freddy Krueger glove. That was taken at the Atlanta Hartsfield. airport because it looked like a weapon. It was like literally a Freddy Krueger glove. It was really bad. An inert mortar round. Someone brought a mortar that, of course, they didn't know if it – TSA didn't know if it was live or not. Then there was this giant scissors. By the way, the inert mortar was in Indiana. The giant scissors were seized in Tennessee. My husband's looking at this picture and he goes, babe, if you're getting on the plane with a giant scissors, you're really not out to hurt anybody. That's clearly for a costume or a gag or a prop. No one's murdering somebody with a giant scissors. When I say giant, it was like 3 feet tall. It wasn't even like a usable scissors. It was a giant one. There was a fake bomb at the Chicago airport. Bad idea to go with the fake bomb. Concealed knife at LaGuardia. Pretty normal. Snake in a computer hard drive, by the way. Snake in a computer.
Somebody tried to smuggle a snake.
And then Chicago, once again, an ice axe. You might want to leave your ice axe at home when you're getting on it.
That's a bad idea. At least one astronomer is warning against SETI. That is the search for extraterrestrial life.
Why?
Because they may come and eat us.
Well, there's that.
I don't know. Dan, you may remember the Twilight Zone episode To Serve Man. They came to serve man. That was the title.
I believe you. I never watched the show. So.
And the assumption was, this one episode, the assumption was, hey, we come in peace and the aliens show up. And you know, we're all excited about the aliens showing up. And, hey, they seem to be friendly. They seem to like us. They like us.
I don't like where this is going.
And spoiler alert, by the end of this 30-minute episode, we find out that, no, they've come to
eat us,
serve man.
Oh,
we are a delicacy.
That's bad.
Well, you would think that if, you know, an alien race is intelligent enough to master interstellar travel, they're probably a little bit more advanced than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, for all we know, they look at us as bacteria.
Exactly.
We don't have any problem about rubbing out bacteria, right?
Right.
So maybe we shouldn't.
Got a case of the munchies. Let's go to Earth. For decades, JOR scientists have used radio telescopes to listen for cosmic signals that could originate with an extraterrestrial civilization. We are broadcasting messages to the stars in hopes that somebody or something is listening. But in a new interview with The Times, University of St. Andrews astronomer Martin Dominic cautions against sending messages into the unknown of deep space. Maybe, he said provocatively, they will come and eat us.
They might. I'm a little nervous about it now.
Dominic's comments allude to a terrifying dark forest theory, which holds that astronomers haven't spotted extraterrestrial signals because other civilizations are hiding from killer aliens that wipe out any galactic competition they spot. Some say alien contact is the greatest thing we could possibly do.
Unless they're going to eat us.
Some think we should be very quiet and this should be the last thing we should do.
If they're going to eat us.
It might indeed be the last thing we will do.
So we kind of need to know if we're food or not.
We just want the friendly aliens. Yeah. Hey, friendly aliens, you're welcome.
Bring the good ones.
Yeah.
Bring the good ones. Time now is 4:46. Please don't eat us. That's Wicks and Jewelers time. Sell your unwanted valuables at Wicks and Jewelers in Bloomington. They pay top dollar for diamonds, vintage jewelry, fine watches, and precious metals.
Paul and Jor and Mike Max.
Boom, boom, boom.
And just because it makes me personally happy to hear the words fishing opener.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Shara.
Yeah.
Tonight. Live Outdoors, Governor Walz has announced the location of the first fishing opener. Do we know where it is, Mikey?
I do. Can I say or not?
I hope so.
I don't know. It's out there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Do it.
I mean, I got an email yesterday from somebody inviting me down to it, so I thought it was public knowledge.
Yeah, for sure.
I think it's the Albert Lee area.
Okay.
We'll take the heat on that. We like a good scoop.
Yeah.
Now, does Governor Walz know that that if Ron's with him, he's not going to catch any fish?
Ron, it's funny because I heard Dave Lee's promo. Ron is in Palm Springs still.
Oh, nice.
He's been there the last few weeks.
Fishing's not so good out there.
It's so great to hear Dave Lee say that 36 degrees in Palm Springs.
Ouch.
That's called karma, as we talk about often, Jordana. That's good karma.
Schadenfreude.
Yep. He wants to leave us when the going gets tough. That's karma,
we'll
Ron.
Show you.
Pull you back in, buddy.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow. All right. Ron. So somewhere in the Albert Lee area, details to follow.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's a number of lakes down there as well. I don't know if they hone in on one lake or if it's just the area, you know?
All right.
Yeah, Governor Walz, of course, comes from Mankato, and he's not that far from there in the southern Minnesota.
Cool.
takes, so he knows those lakes well.
Absolutely.
Hey, is Adam Carter going to be out there? Is he going to go there?
He never misses. Yep. He's got more clothes. They really give away a good grab bag at that thing. I've only been there a couple times.
And just it's today, for the swag. Yeah. They go for the swag.
Just today, in fact, I went cross-country skiing because it was just too nice not to. And I grabbed a jacket, and it was from the fishing opener 2007. It just seems like I got this yesterday. And it's still, it's warm and nice and all those things. And I was out cross-country skiing in that today, looking at that, going, wow, that was some good swag.
Still fits you?
Still fits perfect,
It's not good, when stuff doesn't fit you anymore.
That's right. That's right. No, it felt great. It was a perfect day to be out. I went over on Cedar Lake in Minneapolis there. It was just perfect. 22 degrees, no wind. Couple other cross country skiers. You got to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. Isn't it amazing how good 20s feel when the wind isn't whipping up?
I'm telling you, you break a good sweat and without being, you're not too cold, you're not too hot. You're just into it. And I vowed to myself that when we had these days that I think about in the winter that define us in the winter, right? I love snow like we got last night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take advantage of it and take 40 minutes and say thank you because I love those kind of days.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Hey, the Wolves got creative last night without Andrew Wiggins. Yeah. Nice win against the Clippers. What was the secret there?
Well, they held them off at the end, but they had a number of people play while I was at their practice today. Derrick Rose is just incredible what happens when he's on the floor and when he's not available to them because they are a good team when he's there and they're pretty average when he's not. And last night, again, he scored 22 points. And here's an interesting sidelight to it. Taj Gibson didn't start last night. They decided to take him out of the starting lineup. Veteran guy. It was the first, in Ryan Saunders' words today talking to him, the first tough conversation that he's really had to have with a veteran player, where he calls him in and says, not that we don't appreciate you, but you're not starting, And it was just interesting because he's got to go through all this, This is part of you want to be in the big leagues. You got to have a lot of tough conversations with players and veterans, and some are older than you are, And so he said Taj handled it just great. And we hugged it out, and we were off on to the next mission. But, it was interesting because you forget that all coaches have to do this. But for Ryan, this is the first time through for a lot of these things. And the tough conversation is one of the things that's first time through for him.
This is an interesting story out of Mineota High School.
Did you see that?
Dan brought it to our attention. A player was suspended for 2 games.
Hennon, yep.
For shooting free throws in lieu of another player.
Yeah.
So we had the conversation before the break, so I had a little clarity around this. You can't do that.
No,
that's bad.
Well, first of all, the referee should never that's a referee's mistake, first of all, because they know who got fouled. It's their responsibility to send the right person to the line. That being so, I don't know how they got away with it in the first place. Sometimes there is a hodgepodge, there's a scramble, there's a foul, they turn to give the number to the scorer's table, and all bets are off. If you could do this probably more often than guys do, you could say, hey, let's at least try this, because what are they going to do, take you off the free throw line? You can say, I thought I was the one that got fouled. But it looked like this was fairly intentional. This kid's a great athlete, great football player, and scoring record, 45 points, all those things. But that's a no-no, and certainly he knew that. They also suspended for 1 game the kid whose place he took because, in essence, they're saying, you need to call that out. You knew you were the one fouled.
Right.
So, in fairness, if you're that kid and the star player says, I'm shooting the free throws, what are you going to do, right?
Uh-huh. Unless they planned it all and it was more nefarious.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like to think that it is, but I guess something bad went down there.
So he's apologized. Let's chalk that up as a learning lesson.
That's right.
And say,
they're
in
kids.
Life there are things you can't do. He's a great player, great athlete. Let's just move on from that one and say he learned.
Sure.
Hey, Maxie, the Wild have lost 4 of the last 5. I know they're in action at the X tonight against Philadelphia. Can they turn this thing around? What do you think?
Got 30 seconds, Mike.
Yes, they can. They're going to need a little puck luck, they call it, because they need to win some of these one-goal games. Philadelphia, very interestingly, is now run by Chuck Fletcher, who they fired as their GM last year, and Philly's had a nice run since they've had them in the fold. We will connect with Ron Shearer, though, in Palm Springs tonight, I promise you.
Cold.
Chilly Palm Springs.
Cold. Thank you.
Best, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks, Mikey.
We'll review the new budget deal when we get back and also take some calls and thoughts on if Ilhan Omar should be pulled from the Foreign Affairs Committee back on CCO.
Oh, 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 oh. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.